This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Super Mario prepares to level up. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. No, we're not talking about the GameStop saga in financial markets. We're talking about this guy and his pivotal promise.
The ECB is ready to do whatever it takes to preserve the euro. And believe me, it will be enough.
That's former European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi in 2012 vowing to do whatever it takes to save the eurozone's common currency during a debt crisis that was raging. Now he could soon be leading the charge as prime minister to help Italy out of its economic coronavirus crisis. Draghi is meeting with the country's president right about now, and it's expected he'll be invited to form a new government after a coalition government collapsed when Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte resigned last week after protests over his handling of the pandemic. So why Draghi and why now? Nicola Bori, an economist at Lewis University in Rome, explains.
Draghi in Italy has a lot of appreciation from all the political parties and in the general public. So there is a strong support for Draghi. And so in this moment of political crisis in which the parties in the parliament are not able to form a government, the idea of the president Mattarella is to find a person that can unify the differences between these political parties. Tough decisions have to be made, and he wants a strong government, and a strong government means supported by a large majority. And so the idea is that Draghi right now is the only person that can provide that.
As you say, the coronavirus crisis has caused the worst economic crisis for Italy since World War II. To help, Italy will receive $241 billion in recovery funding from the European Union. But there's been a lot of disagreement about how to use that funding. So what might Draghi's strategy be? What does he need to prioritize to be successful in all of this?
The good strategy would be to find few projects that can be implemented in a relatively short amount of time with a strong impact on the economy. Prime Minister Conte appointed a committee, and this committee actually prepared a list that was very much appreciated both by the business sector, observers, but soon this to-do list was forgotten. And so I think that what Draghi should do, and I think he will do, is go back to that plan. And so this means some infrastructure, but also a lot of investment into schools, priorities that I think this government will push forward.
As we saw during his time leading the ECB, we know that Draghi is obviously a good financial operator, and Italian stocks and bonds have rallied on this news today. Does this change the investing outlook for Italy, do you think?
You know, this is difficult to say. I think Draghi, clearly, from a financial point of view, is a great expert. But I think more importantly for Italy now, he's such a good politician in the sense that he's able to bring together people with very different views. And so this is extremely positive. I think that the key for his success is going to be a good politician, meaning find support in parliament and outside parliament with the general public. So if Draghi will be able to do that, I think that this would be good also for investment more in general.
Now, Draghi will be asked to form a new government, but can he say no to forming one? And if so, what happens then?
So, of course, he can, but, you know, politically, I think it's difficult to say no to the president. What is going to happen is that he's going to accept the task to verify whether in the parliament there is a majority, a large majority that will support him. So if he finds this majority, then he will take the office. If he realizes that he doesn't have the majority that he needs to do a good job, he will tell this to the president. Then I think that the only alternative is elections. It's something that President Mattarella really doesn't want, given the current situation.
Nicola Bori, an economist at Lewis University in Rome. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, Italy's main share index in Milan is up 2.4% this morning, alongside a broad rise in global markets. Key benchmarks in London, Frankfurt, and Paris are up in the 0.3% to 0.6% range. Meanwhile, shares of Britain's second largest pharmaceutical company, GlaxoSmithKline, are up 0.9% today. The company announced a deal with Germany's CureVac to develop a new coronavirus vaccine aimed at tackling new variants. The BBC's Dominic O'Connell has more on that.
GlaxoSmithKline's own vaccine, which it is developing with Sanofi of France, has had setbacks in trials and is unlikely to be ready for production until later this year. Now GSK is trying to jump ahead to the next phase in the battle. The $180 million deal with CureVac, a Nasdaq-listed company with headquarters in Germany, is aimed at producing a vaccine that can deal with more than one variant of the virus. GSK said the increase in emerging variants required more efforts to develop new vaccines to keep one step ahead of the pandemic. The two companies aim to have their first vaccines ready for production next year. This is the BBC's Dominic O'Connell for Marketplace.
Well, I don't know about you, but since the pandemic started, it feels like there's been a persistent pile of cardboard just sitting in my recycling bin. The biggest culprit from my house is online grocery deliveries. And it's all those orders from all around the world that have caused a waste problem and a cardboard shortage, as the BBC's Katie Prescott told me.
So many more of us now are shopping online. If you look at the figures for the UK, for example, a third of all retail sales are now done online. So you've got this influx of cardboard into our homes. There's a global shipping crisis. So the raw pulp isn't coming to the paper mills so they can make cardboard. A bit of a quirk that's quite particular to Europe. So most of the cardboard that's made here is from recycled cardboard. Now, before the pandemic, recycling was quite a streamlined process with cardboard coming through in a commercial way, so from shops, for example. But now the cardboard's coming to our homes. Many people might have lots of cardboard in their recycling bin or in their garages. So it's not being processed back into the system in the way that it would be, say, if it was coming through the supermarkets.
And that's meant that companies just don't have the cardboard to send boxes. So necessity is sort of the mother of invention, isn't it? And in this case, lots of businesses are coming up with creative solutions to this, aren't they?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Particularly for small businesses, it's been quite hard for them to find cardboard for bespoke products. For example, bottles of beer. They've really had to measure their lead times for ordering those boxes in weeks rather than days, as they would have done. I think people will notice this most by the use of plastic round eggs. So we're all used to cardboard egg boxes, but actually what you see in the supermarket now are plastic egg boxes instead.
So are we sort of going back in time in a way? Is this plastic recyclable, or are these somewhat permanent shifts for the time being during the pandemic?
Certainly, speaking to some of the major supermarkets, in terms of that plastic egg boxing, that's now starting to stop as more cardboard is coming into the system. Perhaps the message here is, if you want to do your bit for the cardboard shortage, do make sure it's not sitting in your garage and put it in your recycling bin.
There is plenty sitting outside my house, Katie. The BBC's Katie Prescott. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, one London brewery's solution to the cardboard chaos is bring in a box, fill it with cans, take it home, and repeat. Cheers to that. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.